To be with you today. Good to have those that are visiting with us. We're glad that you're here. That there is a meeting in Pine Lane starting today through Wednesday that was mentioned. Lonnie Aldag is preaching there. That's Ansley's father-in-law. And they're meeting at 5 tonight and I think 7 o'clock the rest of the week. The congregation's located right off of the Helena Bessemer exit, right off of 459, real close to there. I'd have Jim Bell with us here this morning. He and I go way, way back. And I'm going to tell you a little story about Jim and what kind of person he is. Because I was living in Panama City. I was in my job right out of college working in the newspaper there. And I was doing a little bit of what I call appointment preaching here and there. And so he was preaching in Saraland in Mobile at the time, and he contacts me and asks me to come preach one weekend for him. I thought, oh wow, my reputation of a young preacher preceding you here, he's laughing there. But I get there and they have a get together for young people, and for some reason, they wanted me to ride with somebody, and it was a young lady there that I think Jim and my dad had gotten together and planned on fixing me up. See, I was my two younger brothers were already married, and I wasn't, so I think they were very concerned about me. And so that did not work out. Because a few years later, I moved to Birmingham, and Jarell and I started dating. So I thought they were inviting me there because of my preaching reputation, but that was not the case at all. And so you got to watch out with Jim. You know, he's a little sneaky there. But we're glad to have him here with us today. Last week we looked at the subject of wisdom in regard to our labor, since it was coming up on Labor Day. We talked about some of the wise writing that has to do with the way that we work. And so today, in that same vein, I want to do a little bit of a prequel to that and just talk about Proverbs in general. And over the next few weeks, maybe not every Sunday, but look at some lessons that have to do with wisdom. The walk of a Christian is to be with wisdom as we go through life. And it was read for us this morning, Ephesians chapter 5. Paul encourages the Ephesian brethren to walk in such a way that it's wise. Verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 5 says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." And so you get the impression there that Paul knows what it is that they should be paying attention to. How are you going to be wise? How are you going to walk in the way that you should? Well, it's going to start out by knowing what the will of the Lord is. And so it's important. It's something that you ought to do carefully. And you want to be considered to be a wise person. Why? Because he said that time is fleeting. Time is not your friend. You need to take advantage of the time that you have, because the days are evil. Make best use of your time. And you know, time really gets away from us, doesn't it? Jarell and I were talking yesterday, and she said, "You realize that in November it'll be 3 years that Ethan and Jesse have been married. Doesn't seem like it's been that long ago, but it has." And we, those of us that are getting older, it just passes by so quickly. Somebody told me this week that the cast of the show Friends is as old as some of the cast of the Golden Girls was when that show started. Well, that'll make you feel old in a hurry. But what does that say? Well, time passes by quickly, but before you know it, and if you are wise, you are going to realize that time is fleeting, and we tend to waste our time. And people waste their time, they waste their lives by failing to execute and exercise wisdom in their daily lives. And so the Word of God is something that we need to pay attention to. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that the Word of God is going to equip man unto every good work. And so that's good. And one of the things that we can get from the book of Proverbs is it's going to provide us with a lot of sound advice concerning daily living. And that's true for Proverbs. It's true for all of the Word of God. And so we want to talk specifically today about the book of Proverbs as we did last week, as it is a great source of wisdom. In Proverbs chapter 1, in the first six verses of the book, I think the purpose of the book is very clearly stated here in these verses. The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to understand words of insight, to receive instructions in wise dealing, in righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance. To understand a proverb and a saying, the words of the wise and their riddles. So clearly stated here in these first six verses of the book, number one, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive words of understanding. So we ought to read it, we ought to understand it, we ought to know it, and it will help our understanding. Another purpose here stated, to receive instruction of wisdom. In what ways? In justice, in judgment, in equity. And so these are things that are going to be beneficial to us. And it specifically states how it is going to help certain individuals. It says those that, to the simple, or maybe you could say to the naive, it's going to give prudence. It's going to give instruction and help. To the young person, it's going to give knowledge and discretion. And certainly those that are young and those that are old also need to have that. To the wise man, what's it going to do for the one that's wise? Well, it's going to help them to be even more wise, to increase their learning, to increase their instruction. And to those of understanding, to provide wise counsel. And so, therefore, the book is designed to make a person wise, to learn how to live in such a way that wisdom is ruling in your life, to treat others in such a way that's fair and equitable, and to give those that are lacking in those areas a little bit more, to what my dad would call common sense, which we say is not common anymore, but to give to those that lack that, to give them common sense, for the young, to give them sound advice. And so we find time and time again, when you go through the book of Proverbs, it gives us a lot of good advice to those that are young and to the old, and to the wise give even more wisdom. So it would be appropriate to ask, what exactly is wisdom and why is it so valuable? So we want to look at a definition. Several years ago, we went to a honor band in Auburn to hear Ethan play. And Brendan and I were there, and we went to a vending machine and that had Smart Water in it. And I made a joke, as I'm apt to do. I put some money in it, and I said, "Ooh, Smart Water. I wonder if this will make me smart." And there was a little kid that was behind me and said, "Nope, my mom drinks it all the time." And I thought, well, that's great. And I've never forgotten that. And so, yeah, I drank it anyway, and who knows if it helped. But the thing is, what are you going to do with the Word of God? Are you going to drink it? Yeah, if you don't drink it, if you don't feed upon it, it's not going to help you. If you want it to help you, the wise writers say, here's some things that are going to help you, and if you don't pay attention to them, it's not going to have any benefit at all. And if Smart Water really did what it's supposed to do, then maybe they'd sell more of it. It doesn't seem to be working. But wisdom is defined as a realistic approach to the problems of life. That's what the 20th Century Encyclopedia of Religious Knowledge says. That, well, it's going to help you with the problems of life. And that's good. And we see that when we look at the Word of God. Homer Haley defined it this way. He said, wisdom is insight into the underlying causes and significance or consequences of things, which insight enables one to apply to the best end the knowledge which he has. And basically what he's saying is that it's knowledge that is applied. And so how might we illustrate that? Well, we can illustrate that this way. Let's say that you are yelled at by somebody, and we've all had that happen. You know, maybe your spouse, maybe your boss, maybe a fellow Christian. So how are you going to react when somebody yells at you? Well, you can punch them in the face. You could strike back, either physically or verbally. Or you could do nothing. Or you could do, you know, what Proverbs tells you in Proverbs 15, verse 1. Says, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Huh. Well, that's not something that we usually do, is it? What's the first thing that we want to do when somebody, you know, verbally abuses us? Oh, we want to strike back. We want to yell back. And I think I've mentioned before, one of the best examples I had that was a former boss that I had that there were many, many situations in which she was in where I heard other people getting very excitable and very emotional about things. But she was calmly writing things down and did not get emotional when everybody else around her was emotional and irrational. She was just trying to collect facts. And it was always a great example to me of how she dealt with that. And she lived this proverb, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. So you got two choices there, how you're going to react. One with softness and one with harshness. And what does it say the harsh word does? It stirs up more trouble. And so that's just a very, very simple example that we would say is common sense, and we all know it when we look at the way that we react in our lives. So you could do nothing, or you could react with a soft, kind reply. And so this is wisdom. Wisdom is the insight which helps you decide what is the best thing to do, and the Proverbs help us to do that. Another thing the Proverbs helps us with, it tells you how to deal with moral issues. Let's say that somebody makes inappropriate advances towards you. Again, you could react in several different ways, but wisdom is going to tell you how to react in the proper way in that situation. Many years ago, my mother was working at a doctor's office, and one of her responsibilities was to go to the post office every day and to pick up the mail and to deliver what needed to go out. And she noticed that there was a man there at the post office at the same time that she was there. That didn't work at the post office. He was there to pick up mail, and he just so happened to arrange it, seems that at the same time that she was there. And one day he said something to her and said that it sure is nice to see a beautiful woman every day. And she knew what he was saying, and she said, well, I hope you had that at your home today, you know. And so she made arrangements not to go there and do that anymore. You know, she exercised wisdom, so she wasn't going to be around that person that was, she perceived as talking inappropriately to her. And so wisdom will enable you, if you'll apply it, to react in the proper way. And the book of Proverbs tells us, you know, very frankly how it is that we ought to react in different situations. The first nine chapters of the book are actually discourses telling us the value of wisdom. First of all, the virtue of wisdom is seen in the prosperous life that it can produce. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 3, verses 13 through 18. Proverbs 3, 13 through 18. Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding. For the gain from her is better than gain from silver, and her profit better than gold. She is more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her. Long life is in her right hand, in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who lay hold of her. Those who hold her fast are called blessed. And so you see the comparison here. The comparison is between those that are wise and have found wisdom and those that have found riches and maybe worldly honor. Which one is more important? Which one is going to bring you more blessing? Well, that's a hard decision for a lot of people. That, you know, the riches are the things that they seek after. And they want those things, but the wise writer says that wisdom is more precious than jewels. Wisdom is more gain than silver. Long life is in her right hand. And so the book is saying this is the prosperous life that can be produced by following wisdom instead of riches. Another thing that the book does is to help us guard against many pitfalls that are out there. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 21. Proverbs chapter 3 verse 21. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, and they will be life for your soul and adornment for your neck. And you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence and will keep your foot from being caught. And so this is very comforting, but it's also, you know, great advice. And you can just imagine the person that is older and wiser giving this advice to the son or the daughter or the person that needs to hear this from somebody that has had experiences and said, my son, do not lose sight of these things. These things are going to help you. And not only will these things help you, that the Lord is going to be your confidence. So there is a lot of good advice contained here that tells you that wisdom's value is guarding you against many things that are out there. We'll say more about that in just a minute. But some of the pitfalls that are frequently warned about in the book of Proverbs are ones that, you know, my mom and dad wanted to remind me of many times. And so you can just read this and imagine that it's your parent telling you these things, because it may not be the exact words that your parents would have used, but it'd be very similar in the advice. My son, if sinners entice you, don't consent. Parents ever told you that? Don't follow the example of somebody else. Everybody else jumped off a cliff and you go do it. Don't do what someone else is enticing you. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without reason. Like Sheol, let us swallow them alive and whole like those who go down in the pit. We shall all find precious goods. We shall fill our houses with plunder. Throw in your lot among us. We will all have one purse. And so it's describing here how the evil person is saying, hey, come and do this. Have any of you ever been in that situation where you're with a group of people or you're with a friend who's wanting to do something that's evil or wrong? I can remember one of my friends thinking it would be funny to ride through a neighborhood and throw bricks and mailboxes. You know, we were really searching for something to do, you know, if that's the only thing that we could find to do. But that's what he wanted to do. And somehow I talked him out of it. And I told my mom, you know what Greg wanted to do? And of course she was aghast and never wanted me to go anywhere with him again. It's okay, we didn't do that. You know, we didn't have any bricks. That's the kind of thing that he wanted to do. And the wise writer is saying, you know, here's the person that's trying to plan. Oh, let's get in the bush. Let's ambush somebody. Let's wait for somebody to walk by and we're going to attack them and we're going to steal their money. Don't do it. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Hold back your foot from their paths. Don't follow them. For their feet run to evil. They make haste to shed blood. For in vain is a net spread in the sight of any bird, but these men lie in wait for their own blood. They set an ambush for their own lives. Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessors. You see what's being said here? Don't follow these people. Don't do what they're looking for something that they can get for nothing. They're wanting to steal from somebody else, and you know who they're really stealing from? Themselves. They're doing more damage to themselves than they are to the person that they're taking from. And so you can imagine that kind of advice that you would get from somebody that's older and wiser. Don't do this. They're only hurting themselves. And that's what the wise writer is saying. Don't you join them in doing wrong, and you will be caught up with them in their own self-destruction. Wisdom will keep you from going in that direction, preserve you from that. Another piece of advice that we see repeated in the book of Proverbs and elsewhere is to stay away from immorality. And so Proverbs chapter 5, which you probably heard over and over about the enticing woman. And so do not succumb to immorality. My son, be attentive to my wisdom. Incline your ear to my understanding, that you may keep discretion. Your lips may guard knowledge, for the lips of a forbidden woman drip honey, and her speech is smoother than oil. But in the end, she is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, and her steps follow the path to Sheol. She does not ponder the path of life. Her ways wander, and she does not know it. And now, O sons, listen to me. Do not depart from the words of a mouth. Keep your way far from her. Do not go near the door of her house, lest you give your honor to others and your years to the merciless, lest strangers take their fill of your strength and your labors go to the house of a foreigner. And at the end of your life you groan when your flesh and body are consumed. You say, how I hated discipline in my heart, despised reproof. I did not listen to the voice of my teachers or incline my ear to instructors. I'm at the brink of utter ruin. So what is the advice here? That this indiscretion, this affair, as we would call it, may appear exciting and harmless, but immorality is one of the quickest ways of destroying your life, destroying your family, destroying yourself physically and spiritually. And the wise writer saying, son, don't do this, don't do this. And it's going to be difficult because the temptress is going to drip honey. And it's going to be tempting, but exercise of wisdom would spare you a lot of pain if you don't go that direction. And as we talked about last week, Proverbs chapter 6 tells us to be on guard against laziness. Go to the ant, O sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief officer or ruler, she prepares her bread in the summer, gathers her food in harvest. How long will you lie there, O sluggard? When will you arise from your sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and poverty will come upon you like a robber and want like an armed man. So this is also wisdom that you can hear coming from somebody. When are you going to get up today at the crack of noon? When are you going to wake up and do something? It may seem like it's good to do nothing, but slothfulness, what does it guarantee? Failure. Poverty and wisdom provides a much better way of life over laziness. And certainly you can see just from these examples that there is a lot of wisdom of great value in this book. So let's just go one step further here. What is the value of the book of Proverbs? First of all, the value here is that we see. How is it that we get wisdom normally? Wisdom sometimes is gained through trial and error. What that means is that once I do it wrong, then I learn next time how not to do it. the reason that I got any good at fixing computers is because the first computer that was given to me, it was given me to by somebody in Panama City when I lived there. I didn't have a computer. And one of my customers gave me one to play around with. I'd never used one. So the first thing I did is I went and deleted everything off of it because I figured I didn't need their stuff. Well, I deleted the whole operating system. And so I didn't know what I was... So I learned how to load an operating system because of trial and error. And there have been many, many, many things that I have torn up in my life that I have learned how to fix because I tore it up. And my father used to tell me, Randy, now you need to learn from the mistakes of others because you don't have time to make all the mistakes yourself. I thought, oh, well, that's really good advice. And then one day I heard somebody say, you don't have time to make all the mistakes yourself. You need to learn from the mistakes of others. I thought, well, they're quoting my dad. And then they quoted Mark Twain. I thought, oh, my dad stole it from Mark Twain and never told me. But it was good advice when Mark Twain said it. And it was good advice when my dad said it, and it's good advice when we see it in the Scriptures. Why are we told these things? Did Solomon have any problem with women? Did he have problems with riches? Well, there's a lot of things that we can learn from others that have been through the same thing. And don't parents always say that to their kids? You know, I used to be a teenager once, and I remember this, this, and this. And the kids growing up don't think you know anything, but we tell them all the time, you need to learn from me because I don't want you to make the same mistakes that I did. And aren't we told that in the Scriptures all the time? We are given things to be an example. These things were written for our example. Those who fail to learn from history are doomed to repeat it. And so, yes, we gain wisdom through years and years of trial and error when a person chooses to listen only to one's own experiences. Oh, I have to experience it all myself. But there are disadvantages to that because you waste a lot of time trying to learn through trial and error, and then you have to learn to live with the consequences of your trial and error. And sadly, that's the only way that a lot of people learn any kind of wisdom, is they are bound and determined to make every mistake themselves. And then they only learn if they actually survive, you know, their errors. What's the other way? Through the proven experience of others, as we've already said. So that's a real good plan. That if I'm willing to heed the advice of others, that could be very helpful and advantageous to me. Because I can avoid wasting years of my life through trial and error and not be burdened with the consequences of those kind of mistakes. And learn from what others have done. Again, that's just common sense, isn't it? But it's not common because people fail to learn from the mistakes of others so many times. But this way of gaining wisdom is so much superior. And that's what makes the book of Proverbs so valuable, is that we can gain wisdom because it's written for us. Instead of wasting our short time here on earth trying to discover wisdom, let's go straight to the book of Proverbs. Because it's divinely inspired by God. If you go to a bookstore, there's always big self-help sections, aren't there? And those books usually consist of people that have done something and they're telling you how you can be successful doing what they did. And so maybe they're credible, maybe they're not sometimes. But and so the usefulness that you're going to find from that is really going to depend on how trustworthy and truthful that person is. But when we look at the Word of God, do I have to look at the Proverbs and say, I don't know if this book is trustworthy. I don't know if I can really depend on what this says. You know, it sounds real good, but I don't know if it's tried and true. If it's divinely inspired by God, it's got the best recommendation that you can have. It's been proven to be true by generations of righteous men and women who lived out their lives by the teachings found in it. Somebody said a proverb is a short sentence based on long experience. I like that. So the value of the book of Proverbs is that it provides the wisdom of God. And that is powerful. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom, inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from His mouth come understanding, or come knowledge and understanding. So seek it out. It's beneficial. This says it takes some effort to do that, but it will be worth it if you will seek it out. It will provide knowledge and understanding. This is also echoed in the book of James. James chapter 1, verse 5. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For the person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He's a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. But what James is saying here is that wisdom is still something that should be sought. It was true when it was written in Proverbs, and it's true when James wrote it. The underlying principle is still the same, that there is a source of knowledge, there is a source of wisdom, and you ought to seek it. And this is the far better way to find it than trying to find it on your own or make all the mistakes yourself. Don't do it the way most people do it. And so I hope that this lesson will encourage you to dwell on the book of Proverbs more, to study it and to glean the wisdom that can be found in it. In other lessons, we'll look at some specific topics that the book of Proverbs addresses, you know, with our relationship with God, the relationship with the family, and some other things. It's very, very beneficial. Colossians 2, verse 3 says, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It all comes from God. The most wise decision that you can make in your life is to follow God and to seek God and to seek to be reconciled with Him because of the gift of His Son being buried in baptism. We can help you in any way to respond to the invitation. We invite you to come while we stand and sing.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, as you surround us and you guide us through your word of how to have wisdom, we pray that you'll help us to continue these thoughts as we go through our life, not to be defeated by the things that happen in the world around us, but through your wisdom that we can always go back to in your word, you can guide us through our life. Please be with the family that has the new child with problems with its heart. Help give them courage and strength, and strengthen the child, and help them to have a good future together if it's your will. And also, dear Father, we thank you for helping Dave Christie. Please be with him. Thank you for helping David Oglesby. And we could go through the names of everyone here, dear Father, because each person has a different type of challenge to their lives. And it's through your word and confidence in your ability to take care of us that we know we can go on through the world, no matter what happens here locally or what happens nationwide or worldwide, that you'll guide us in all these things. Help us to strengthen us. We pray, dear Father, that you'll please be with the young people as they go forward in their lives, Noah and Sarah in particular, but also the others that have been here and they're now having their own families. But help those that are also in the military, and guide the families at home and the families that are in overseas. Help them all to continue being strengthened by you, dear Lord. And we're thankful for your wonderful Son, Jesus, that can provide all these things and helps to us too. We pray that you'll be with us now, as through his name we pray. Amen.